This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, everybody. 15th November 2019, I'm Koo Soo Chuang, joined by Wong Xiaoning. And here we are, 15th November 2019. Roughly about 6 weeks to go to the end of the year, Xiaoning.
I know, where did it go?
I know, right? It is nearly the end of the second decade of the 21st century. That's fast.
Very fast. I think, you know, it wasn't that long ago when it was 2000 and we thought the world was going to end.
Remember Y2K?
Yeah, Y2K. And then they were like, oh, you have to stockpile how many bags of rice, electricity won't work, you know. And then, look, we're in 2019 and we're moving to 2020, but thank goodness no one's asked us to stockpile anything and there doesn't seem to be any, like, potential fallout from the new decade.
Well, ironically, if you live in Hong Kong, that might be just what you're doing now. Have you been seeing the news over there? I mean, it's been incredible, right?
I saw some videos on South China Morning Post, and I have to say the universities look like mini barricades.
Right? Yeah. And universities have traditionally been the bastions of, I don't know, security, contemplation.
No, but they also have been bastions of violence. Academia, I mean, not violence, but protests, right? If you go back to France in the 1960s, when there were quite a lot of protests between the government and university students, it's not uncommon.
Yeah, but how things have changed, right? Now you can kind of like see human protests all over the world, right? Where the mass uprising kind of all began in the Middle East.
The Arab Spring,
right? And that the power of the people. Actually, Malaysia recognizes that. That's why they've got all these B40 schemes and trying to narrow the wealth divide.
It's very important.
You can't
ignore the plight of the poor.
Yeah.
Or just even if you're not poor, just feel that you're left out in the whole economic boom, right? Nobody's listening to you. You have no means of having any communication with the government. The government seems to just ignore you completely.
Yeah, getting left behind. You just one gets a sense that it's time to just rejig the system where, you know, you don't allow people to get too super rich and too super normal. And then it's almost like a little bit of socialist, but I don't know. It seems a bit necessary now.
Well, it's a new environment. It's going to be an interesting 2020.
What do you think is going to be installed in the third decade of the 21st century?
Oh,
right,
wow.
Because that's what we're entering, right?
Yeah.
2020, and then 20. Remember 2020 when Mahathir wanted, like, 2020 is when we arrive on the global stage.
Well, we haven't, but yeah.
We sit at the top table with all the other developed nations when we're wealthy as fat cats and everything.
We're still not quite there yet. We still need to make some progress. It's a very challenging, I think, environment. I mean, you've got, of course, the global slowdown, US-China trade, political instability, you know. The next decade is going to be interesting, especially also, and then the problems of climate change, which are real.
In the next decade, I'm going to be in my 50s. That's how it's going to be different for me. How bad is that going to be?
You're just going to be an old man.
No. I'm just going to be the most childish old man. You know what Dudley Moore used to say? Dudley Moore used to say that you can't grow old, but you don't have to grow up.
I like that, John.
Do you know what I mean?
That's true.
It's all right, isn't it?
Yes. We should never lose our childlike behavior sometimes.
Yeah. So talk about growing old inelegantly. What are you going to be talking about next?
I'm going to ask the question whether men are like muffins. Tasty, but you can't have more than one. Now, that sounds kind of sexist, right? But can you believe it? In 2019, companies still have kind of inappropriate training that ask these kind of questions.
So we'll talk about that. I'll talk about billionaires and our worship of billionaires. All that and more to come. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, 6:08 in the morning. Smooth Operator by Sade, a song about Keith Kum.
No, it's about you too.
No. Far be it from the truth, my dear. So anyway, in the morning, between 6 and 7 o'clock in the morning, we get to choose completely irrelevant, irreverent and inane topics to discuss. And I, from our Slack app, Wong Xiaoning, I selected a song with your name on it because you put it in there. It's about how apparently men are like muffins. So this needs contextual setup, right? So why did you put the story in there?
Well, it's actually on the back of this Ernst and Young. It was originally from an article in Huffington Post about training that Ernst and Young had in their US office. And it just was like totally inappropriate when you think it's 2019.
You mean the same firm that does $37 billion in annual revenue?
Yeah. So you're talking about this training called Power, Presence, Purpose, or PPP, right? And the main thing about it is like they try to tell women how to behave like in the office environment.
In a male-dominated workplace.
Yeah. And some of it, honestly, is just downright sexist and sounds really stupid.
Can I just read some of the snippets?
Yes,
from
please,
them?
Please.
So apparently women's brains are as much as 11% smaller than men's. I think compared to you, I think that's the other way around. Apparently women should not directly confront a man in meetings or talk to a man face to face because apparently we might find it threatening.
Oh my, what are we going to do?
Well, it depends, because I've never been, I would find it oddly entertaining actually. Women should apparently ensure they've got a good haircut, manicure, nails, well-cut attire that complements your body type.
Yeah, and then don't be too aggressive or outspoken. So, i.e. just keep quiet and know your place.
So all American women should not behave the way they do, lah.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I mean, women shouldn't behave like this. I'm like, what decade is this? You know, this sounds like some training out of a 1950s, 1940s kind of manual.
But apparently it was conducted by an outsourced trainer called Marsha Taylor. So it's a female firm. So what are they trying to do here? Is it just trying to help people navigate the workforce?
Yes, but unfortunately it comes
out. It just fell flat, right?
Yeah, it just comes out all wrong. So immediately, actually, Ernst & Young, they came out to say that, you know, this is not appropriate, this was a mistake. And the MD of Ernst & Young, managing partner, is a lady. And she was like, and she's like the 38th most powerful woman in US or something like that, okay?
And then she defended it, is it?
No, she says, she said it should have never, the training should have never happened because it's totally, totally inappropriate. And it is, when you think about it, right? I mean, what kind of ridiculous training is this?
Correct. So actually, you know what popped into my mind when I saw this story, right? Because there's obviously been repartees in the Guardian and what have you. The men are like muffins thing. But you see, the problem with stories like this, Xiaoning, is that they're always contextualized in the Western sense, right? Because these are American cultures, British cultures, Caucasian cultures. What about the Asian culture? Right? Okay, let me ask you personally, right? What is the Wong Xiaoning guidebook? Top 3 rules for women in the workplace.
Be true to yourself.
Okay.
Be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, which is similar to be true to yourself. Be true to yourself, work hard. And I would say never take things for granted. As in, always have that, you know, push yourself a little bit harder.
So there's nothing to do with dress, nothing to do with purpose or poise or presentation or whatever, right?
No. I mean, if you want to look good as a woman and because you feel better when you go into the workplace, I'm all for that, you know, because it's like 6 a.m. and I still got lipstick on.
Yeah.
But that's because it just makes me feel good and I feel like I'm ready for the day. But hey, if you don't want to wear your lipstick, that's up to you. We shouldn't hold that against you. It's just a personal thing. But, you know, for me, you should have those three rules should be like the most important.
Yeah, well, personally for me, in all my entire working life, you know, whatever decades, right, I've never really felt the male-female thing. I've always just seen colleagues as colleagues, and if they're good at what they do, you know, more power to them. All this is a little bit puzzling to me, even now, all this Me Too, you know, guys, this, women, that, it just seems a bit weird.
But it does happen in the workforce.
You think so?
Yes, I do think so. I think men do, and men and women, don't get me wrong, women too. We have preconceived notions of the opposite sex.
Yeah.
And then we tailor-make our behavior accordingly. And then sometimes we also, I'm lucky. I would have to say in my 20 years of career, I've never really had sexual harassment in my face. But I can imagine it happens. And, you know, what do you do? Do you just keep quiet because you think it might upset your career?
You can't keep quiet, that's for sure.
Well, I think in the past women did because, you know, if they said anything, they might feel like they would be put down. But it's a different world today, right? So like you say, you know, the three things that count to me, like be true to yourself, work extremely hard, just keep pushing yourself if that's something you want to constantly improve.
Yeah, and I think Malaysia is quite progressive in that sense, right? I mean, some of the maternity
laws. Not enough.
Laws,
I don't think it's
you
enough.
Think so?
Because
yeah?
If you look at the data, right, in terms of women in top management positions, it's still not there.
I think it's also a sign of the times because at some point in time, the women drop out of the workforce to have their families, right?
Yeah.
So until that imbalance switches and you've got the husband who has the position to come in and help with a child, you're always going to have the dropout
ratio.
No,
but even the WAO, right, gives you data that shows that, you know, still in interviews, 40% of women still get asked, do you plan to have children?
And then you don't get hired as a result if you don't have children.
So even at that onset, you're already discriminated against. So it's not exactly a level playing field.
So do you agree with the Guardian writer that says that men are like croissants and cinnabons? Men are like croissants, they can be very flaky.
All inappropriate, by the way, but said in tongue-in-cheek.
Yes. Okay. Right. Well, anyway, I'm going to be talking about billionaires next, so that's completely irrelevant to this discussion. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That is, was, and always will be Top Loader with Dancing in the Moonlight. Great track, by the way. I'm Kusa Chuang, joined by Wong Xiaoning, and still on the subject of money and capitalism and the free market economy that is freewheeling all over the world. Now, apparently, according to this story in Outline.com, people are uncomfortably worshippers of great wealth and billionaires specifically. So, which made me think Wong Xiaoning, that do you think in modern society, Malaysia included, that we worship too fervently at the altar of great material wealth?
We do. Hands up, we do.
Hands down, right? Hands down.
I mean, for sure, I think we do. I mean, we like... they're seen as today's modern heroes, right? You know, we don't have...
Billionaires, right?
Yeah, we don't have princes anymore. So, you know, like warriors, like... But we have billionaires.
Hey, you know, our billionaires in Malaysia are all like octogenarians or septuagenarians, and they don't look anything like Brad Pitt at all. Ananda Krishnan, Kai Hong Piao, Kwek Ling Chan. Minimum 70 plus lah.
But then you don't really care what they look like. You just kind of like, wow, it's the money, right?
They don't care what you don't care.
No, in a way, right? You're worshipping the fact that these guys made $1 billion.
Yeah. Yeah.
What they look like is almost irrelevant.
It's irrelevant. Yeah. It's what they can do for you. So money, influence and power is much more addictive and intoxicating than physical attributes.
Yeah, and in many ways you think, because you assume, okay, and you, I mean, let's face it, most of us will never make $1 billion, right? So it's this fantasy thing, isn't it? And you just imagine that if I had $1 billion, I could do whatever I want.
Mate, $1 billion at 5% a year, it's what is that? 50 million in interest, right?
Yeah.
Can you spend 50 million in interest? That's 4 million ringgit a year, a month. In basic expenses. Actually, can.
Fly jet, private jet everywhere.
Can.
You know, the Ritz.
You get bored of it, like, actually, won't you?
I don't know, because I've never had $1 billion. I can only dream of it.
You never touch the capital. That's the amazing thing. Even at 5% a year, you can never even touch your capital.
But you've asked me, they are the superheroes or the modern princes or the warriors of like
so.
20 of 2019.
I don't think so, because I don't think anyone can have a massive fortune without having committed a crime of some kind.
You think so?
Yes, absolutely. An honest guy can never make an honest woman specifically as well can't never make $1 billion.
You mean you would have had to cross some ethical lines?
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if it's not an actual crime, but you would have maybe had to maybe do things that weren't necessarily the best in terms of ethics or morals or values.
Yes.
What if you inherited it, Chuang? You were like one of those lucky dudes, you know. It just fell on you.
You know, there was this guy in Penang that actually did inherit $1 billion.
Really?
Yeah, he was a nobody from nowhereville. And then this guy in Hong Kong, very superstitious guy, had no heir apparent. And he got his geomancer to do all the sums and basically identified this guy in Penang. This true story, yeah, by the way, true story, right? And the same date of birth, the same, everything genealogically the same, right? And out of the blue, and this is in the 80s, right?
So he just inherited a gazillion dollars.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, he never...
True story.
Yeah. Have you ever asked him whether life was better?
I don't know, you see, because I think that because today, since we're quite a relatively immature society, we do worship material wealth. But at some point in time, and this goes back to Maslow's law again, right? Mm. Once you get beyond a certain point, material wealth is irrelevant. It's self-actualization and all that, which really makes you more happy.
Well, I think the good news is, like, if you look at some of the people that we talk about in 2019, a lot of them are not billionaires. I mean, for example, Greta Thunberg.
She's
a new hero today.
I don't think she would want to be a billionaire.
No, she's definitely against the whole capitalistic, selfish society model, right?
See, I think these people have got it clued. They're more clued in than we are in some
So
respects.
Let's hope maybe we have new role models in the new decade.
Okay, so before we wrap up, who's your new role model going to be in 2020?
I'll have to think about it, Chuang.
I think Greta Thunberg for me. BFM 89.9, stay tuned. BFM 89.9, 6:39 in the morning. I'm Kusu Chuang, joined by Wong Xiaoning, and that was Bob Marley and the Wailers with Could You Be Loved, a seminal track from the 70s before his untimely demise. The financial
super cool song.
Super cool song.
Perfect
super
for a Friday.
Song. Yeah, exactly, right? Okay, so the Financial Times is right open on my desktop and asks a very important question, because we are always nowadays using apps to book our holidays and our flights and our hotels and what have you. And it's all about the mutual, it's the feedback loop economy, right? If you have a good experience, you say, oh, it was great. It was a bad experience. You say it wasn't so good. And then this kind of like self-perpetuates. So I think the Financial Times asks a very important question. Does this feedback loop become artificial over time, or does it encourage more good manners and more appreciation for the service? I think it's a very good question, because I sometimes find myself making comments which are not 100% true, but I just want to give the guy a bit of a boost. Do you get that?
Yeah, sometimes, especially when, you know, after the Grab ride, right, and the guy turns to you and say, thanks, have a good day. Please rate me 5-star. You feel like, okay lah, I should lah. Because, you know, he asked nicely and it wasn't a bad ride at all. It wasn't exceptional, but it wasn't a bad ride. So, and I know this. I mean, if he gets more stars, he gets more business. Mm. And the fact that he greeted me, you know, and was quite nice. Yeah, he deserves it. Why not? And I think it's true. Manners is not, it's not a bad thing.
That's true. But then 5 stars out of 5 is 100%, which is perfect, right? And a more accurate
one. But there isn't a 4.5. You see, that's a problem.
So that's the thing. So no experience is ever perfect. So by giving that 4-star, which is 100%, which is perfect, are you then being disingenuous in your appreciation of that person?
But
because there's still the map of Gibraltar on the seat. You know what I mean? Because it's never perfect.
No, but the problem is there's no 4.5. And I gather when you rate them for their ability to get, orders or like more people getting the best rides kind of drops off quite incredibly, you see.
Yeah.
So these ride app hailing guys also don't have a middle ground. So hence this rush for all these drivers to try to get 5 stars as much as possible.
Yeah, but don't you think also see that some of this mutual feedback economy is also, it feeds into the artifice that we have created around us. You know, like, for example, now we're all very politically correct and we don't say things which are going to offend the other person.
Do you think that, that's where I disagree?
Yeah.
I think sometimes social media or the anonymity of it makes us even ruder than we really
should
be.
So publicly we show this face, privately, behind the confines of our avatar or whatever username, wow.
We just hantam, okay?
Hantam, yeah.
And because we don't have this face-to-face interaction to see how much hurt we can cause somebody, we just blast away. And then secondly, is the bad thing about social media or any platform is that you just get immediate gratification.
Yeah, you just get to get your rocks off, essentially, right?
Versus, let's say, if you had to meet the person and you might not meet the person straight away, by the time you actually do meet the person, you might have calmed down and thought about it a little bit more rationally. That, you know, it wasn't such a big deal. I shouldn't be so mad over something so small.
Mm.
But with social media, you don't have that check, you know. It's like immediate. Boom,
yeah.
Tick, 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 tick.
That's why you should never reply your emails immediately, right?
Because don't press send. Sometimes it's okay to write it. Just make sure you don't press send. That's what I do is I don't put any address.
Just write the draft first.
Just write the draft. Maybe it'll feel good. It's a bit like therapy. And then you kind of just look at it and you're like, delete.
Yeah.
Or you redraft it to sound not such like a crazy woman.
So rules for survival in the 21st century workplace, according to Wong Xiaoning.
yes.
Take time to contemplate. Don't be so immediate. I think there's a lot of room in today's economy for honesty. Because we always... We're so hell-bent on political correctness nowadays, especially nowadays, right? That we never show our true face. And I don't like... it seems a bit weird that you don't show your true face.
Is it?
Yeah. That you say things which you don't mean.
I think anything, right, when I look at the millennials, they're good at that, you know. They're a little bit more honest. Yeah.
You think so?
Yes.
I think in the actions, they're more honest. I mean, you know, in terms of how they approach, like, for example, a mortgage or car ownership, or the holidays, right? Their actions speak louder than their words sometimes.
But even when I deal with them, I think they're more upfront.
Is
and
that true?
I like that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like that. So that's one thing I appreciate. But definitely, I think we could all have better manners. and have greater consideration
for others. I completely agree. Okay, well, do stay with us because we're about 15 minutes away from the more serious end of the bottom line. BFM 89.9. Robert Smith and The Cure with Friday I'm in Love, and completely appropriate because it's the end of the week and we are in Friday, on Friday, at Friday. Wong Shao Ding and I, Koo Soo Chung, are with you on the morning round this week, this morning. And usually this time of day when we do the social media, but because there's no one has written into us, we've decided to go into the newspapers instead.
Well, the Malaysian Reserve's headline is Malaysia's third quarter GDP grew 4.1 and between 4.1 and 4.4% later this afternoon. I think
that's a forecast, is it?
Yeah, all will be revealed as to what the actual number will be.
If it's 4.1 or 4.3, that means it's about as much as 60 basis points below the third quarter mark.
I think the whole year we're expecting, if I'm not wrong, 4.7 or
4.7.
Yeah. So let's see what the number will be. I mean, if we look at the region, those countries which have announced their GDP, it's not the
Singapore is not great.
Yeah, the number isn't the best.
Every single European nation would love to get anything above 4.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you can get 2. Everyone claps, you know. It's like, wow, well done.
America does 2.5. They're like celebrating champagne.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but we're used to that 6-7% kind of magic number, right?
Yeah, China especially. Okay, I've got the New Straits Times open, Wong Shao Ning, and a real sign of times, because you know what New Straits Times used to stand for, right?
Yeah.
Well, now on page 2, the headline screams, Pakatan leads Barisan and Paul.
Really?
Pakatan leads Barisan and Paul. Let me just repeat that again.
Yeah,
right?
One more time. It's good for effect.
Pakatan leads Barisan and Paul. Tanjung Pia lah, obviously. Survey showing that support for PH is at 53%.
Mm.
And on the front page of the NSD, Tun Mahathir, the Prime Minister of the day, arms locked with the candidates. But more importantly, I think more interesting for me personally, is on page 6. Where the former New Straits Times Press marketing senior group general manager, a man called Dato' Hisham Abdul Rahman, he's apparently good friends with the Indonesian Defence Minister Prabowo, who in his day in the 1960s was in Malaysia, he used to live in PJ, and they were neighbours and they went to watch the Beatles' Hard Day's Night together.
What was he doing? Okay, I mean, this
studying,
is all...
Studying.
Oh, yeah. Studying.
So they're good buddies. And Prabowo says that he recalls fondly his childhood days in KL.
Oh, nice, wow. Yeah. Well, must have been a different time, you know.
Different time.
Okay, in the Star, the headline is, why put a 30% lid on hiring women? And this is based on the proposed quota of 30% on hiring women in public sector. And of course, the champion of all women, Tan Sri Rafida Aziz, is the one that's questioning, why on earth do we even need a cap for this? And I agree with her.
Yeah, I think we're so het up about this. If you're good, you're good. It doesn't matter what gender you are, right?
I mean, you should encourage more women into the workforce and definitely encourage more women to be in leadership positions. But, you know, why is there a lid on anything in the first place?
Yeah, they just have to put this quota. And quotas are, by and large, ineffectual, right? As we've seen in Malaysia.
And then the other headline is all clear for the walkabout, because we know in 48 hours, Tanjung Pia folk actually go and vote for their new MP. So there's pictures of a Barisan candidate and, of course, the Pakatan candidate going around doing their walkabouts.
Yeah. Page 12 for the NST, it is the sign of the times. You know how we talk about floods in Venice? Well, there's floods in Kelantan and Terengganu because obviously it's November and it's monsoon season. So many homes in Tumpat, Pasir Mas, Kota Baru, Bacok, Machang and Pasir Putih in Kelantan, Besut, Setiu, Kuala Nuru, Kuala Terengganu, Marang, Dungun, Kemaman, all being hit by incessant rain and a lot of homes flooded. I like that part of the world. It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Up northern peninsula, eastern seaboard, gorgeous part of the world. But monsoon season meant climate change. Where is Donald Trump when you need him? This is proof. This is real hard,
he'll
cold,
just
hard
deny,
proof.
Deny. Fake news, Chuang. Fake news. Yeah, what are you talking about? Fake news. Yeah. Okay, this is a little bit of cheer for you football fans out there who already probably know, but we have beaten Thailand 2-1 in the fourth Group G match.
No way.
Yeah.
Malaysia beat Thailand in football.
Yeah, this is in the 2022 World Cup, 2023 Asian Cup qualifying campaign.
Gotta be fake news.
Harimau Malaya at the National Stadium in Bukit Jalil last night. Yes.
In that case, let's celebrate. Let's open a packet of nasi lemak.
Later.
No, because it is big news. Thailand and Malaysia.
Well, we haven't lost to Thais at home in 47 years.
Really?
Yeah, so we keep that track going, continuing that good track record.
Okay, I've got the Edge open in front of me. And Solar Vest IPO. that's coming on the cards for Malaysia this year, I think. ACE market listing, 35 times the IPO was oversubscribed. 35 times. Sold.
Was it a so small issue though?
I think it's a small issue. Only 94 million shares.
Okay. And the share price?
135 cents. So obviously a lot of mums and pops out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Genting Malaysia gets not to acquire Empire by merger.
We'll talk about this at 9:15.
We'll talk about this at 9:15. By the way, yesterday was the rat race for the edge.
Was it? Did you run?
No lah, how can I run? I was busy eating lah, like all good Penangites do. Okay, now 6:35 in the morning. We're going to be coming back with a 7 o'clock news and then after that, the morning run. But in the meantime, People Everywhere Still Alive by Krong Bin, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.